Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Y'all say, Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi. Let's try that again. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. All right. Praise the Lord. And welcome, folks, online. Welcome, folks, on Facebook. And this is Rabbi Joe. And this is For Zion's Sake Ministries. And we are glad that you're here with us today. And online and in the house, and
Amen. And we
have lovely Carolyn to my right, and lovely Diane over there in the corner, and we have the lovely Anthony over to my left. Can't see him yet, but you will. You will be hearing from Anthony.
Yes.
And we have Mr. Josh there on camera, and Carol in the back. And so we're going to get started, so praise the Lord. Carol, why don't you start us off? Hallelujah.
Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom,
more monitor.
Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha, Ora V'Simcha, Shabbat Melucha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha, Shabbat Melucha, Shabbat Melucha.
Hey, hallelujah.
This day for Yisrael, this day for Yisrael, this day for Yisrael, filled with light and joy. This day for Yisrael, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. This day for Yisrael, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah. Well, praise
glory.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
This, welcome again, everybody. Those who are just joining us on Facebook and online, I'm Rabbi Joe. Sorry we got a late start this morning. We had a health situation. My son went to the emergency to get, they checked him out for, I don't think he has one, but a possible blood clot. And so pray for Isaac, my son. He's 18. And they're checking his lungs, but they sent him home. So they also, he's been under the weather for 3 weeks, and they've given him antibiotics and passed 3 COVID tests and didn't have any problem with that. So, but he has been having trouble breathing, and he's a real athlete. He's a football player and everything. So it's just not normal what he's going through. And so anyway, and that's why we're getting a little bit of a late start today. So we apologize, but we're going to keep worshiping, and Isaac and his mom are coming. So what's next, Miss Carol? Okay. All right. The blessing of the Messiah. Yep.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Matovu.
Matovu. Oh, Israel, I
where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord thy Maker. As for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's do the Bishamru. You don't all have to stand unless you want to. I'll tell you when to, though. But not right now. You don't have to. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam berit olam. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam berit olam. B'nei, b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, od hi le'olam. B'shamru, b'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam berit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, asa Adonai, Shemayim v'yad haaretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shvi shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam berit olam.
Observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen.
Carol, check his microphone.
Anthony's microphone.
It's not.
It's working now. Yeah. Okay. Say something, Anthony.
Hello.
There we go.
All right.
Pray for Jerusalem.
All right.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her.
Of Jerusalem. Psalm 122, verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that love her shall prosper. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we want to pray, Shalom, Shalom, Jerusalem. We'll pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the city of God, the city of the King, of the great King, the place of your footstool and your throne, your resting place, the place where you will dwell forever and ever, according to Zechariah 8. We thank you, Lord, for Jerusalem. We thank you, Lord, for all of Israel, Eretz Yisrael, the land that you gave your people all thousands of years ago. Lord, you gave them the nation of Israel as a place. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today, about the amazing persistence of the state of Israel in the world and how amazing it really is, the miracle. But we just thank you, Lord. We just pray for the salvation of your people, of the people in Israel, Lord, Jew and Gentile, Lord, Arab and not just all people, Lord. You've got them all there. Hindus, they've got Buddhists, they've got Mormons there, they've got Baha'i, you name it. Everybody's got their little piece of land in the Holy Land. So we just thank you, Lord. We pray for their salvation, Lord, that you would remove the scales from their eyes in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua. And we pray, Lord, that you would part the sea for Aliyah, for return, Lord, that we would be able to return back to our homeland, those who are native-born and those who are just sojourners who are joined together with the Jewish people, Lord, who want to go back to Israel, Lord. Just like the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude, it says in Exodus 12:38, a mixed multitude of non-Jewish people came out with the Jewish people to go to the promised land. So we just thank you, Lord, for all the people that are going to return. We pray, Lord, we just say, let my people come. Let my people come. And we say, into this country, to the spirits, we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness in high places. And so we say to the powers of this over this nation, let my people go. Yes. Let my Amen. People go in the name of Yeshua.
Hallelujah.
And we pray, Lord, for the rabbis today, pray, Lord, for our executives, Lord, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna and give them the spirit of Eliakim. If there be any spirit of power or control, that you would remove it and pride in accordance with Isaiah 22, and that you would give us fathers, humble, and people who are leaders over us who will care for the rabbis and help us to care for the flocks. They'll be fathers to the rabbis, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless them with vision and direction. Help them to be like the sons of Issachar, to understand the times and to know what to do in the times we're living in. Help the rabbis to see, to know the times we're living in, to know what the time is and what to do in that time. We all need to know what to do. I think everybody has a sense of what time it is. We all need to know what to do.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And we just pray for the salvation of our people, Israel, here in the nations. Lord, that you would remove the scales from their eyes and save them. I pray, Lord, that you would open their eyes, all of our families and lost friends who don't know you, Lord, that you would remove the scales from their eyes and bring them to salvation, to saving knowledge of the Messiah, the risen one.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. And we just thank you, Lord, we pray, Lord. I pray for my son Isaac, who was sent to the emergency clinic this morning to get tests. He has been having trouble with tightness in his chest and shortness of breath for 3 weeks. He's been on antibiotics. He's had 3 negative COVID tests, and he's had fever and nausea, and they tested him for a blood clot today. So we just pray for Isaac for healing, and we just pray, Lord, for just a complete healing and that there's no, we pray that there's no blood clot, that the antibiotics they gave him will just take away whatever it is.
Amen.
And restore him to health.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
We thank you, Lord. And thank you. We pray. I pray for the rabbi's wife who has cancer, stage 4 colon cancer. Just pray for her and her a miracle, and that, and Rabbi Wentz, Yossi Wentz, his wife. Lord, we just pray for a miracle. I don't know them personally, but we just pray for them today. Pray for all those people who are sick and have needs. And if you have needs, personal needs or family needs, raise your hand. And we just lift up those needs right now, Father, to the throne. We lift them up to you and ask for your mercy and your intervention, your touch, your healing upon all who are sick and need you right now, Lord. Pray for Pastor Marvin Slagler down in Elizabethton, who had lost both kidneys. And he's been on dialysis. He's getting a kidney replacement. He might have already had it, but when you have no kidneys, you have to be on dialysis 3 days a week, and it's very dangerous. And he's a nice man, so we just pray for healing for Marvin Slagler.
Yes.
And you touch him, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Lord, I thank you, and that you bless my wife as she goes to work today. She goes back to Houston and to her job. And we just pray you bless Dawn and give your angels charge over her as she flies, and help her as she drives to where she's going to get her plane. Lord, we just thank you that you watch over Dawn, keep her safe.
Yes, Lord.
And watch over her boys.
Thank you, Lord.
In Yeshua's name,
Yeshua's
Lord.
Name.
Bless this service now.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Bind the enemy.
Yes.
All right.
Hallelujah.
So, servant of the Lord.
Now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant? To restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept. He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
I don't know, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha, v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele, asher nochim etzavcha hayom al levavecha, v'shinatam levanecha, v'dibarta bam, v'shivtecha b'veitecha, uv'lechtecha v'aderech, uv'shach b'cha, uv'kumecha, uv'kishartam, liyot al yadecha, v'hayu l'totafot b'nei necha, uv'chatavtam, al mezuzot b'itecha, uv'isharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one.
Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands, let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We're going to go to Ya'amod.
Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch
Adonai Hamborah,
Baruch Adonai Rachilam Vaed, Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim, Menatan Lanu Et Torto, Baruch Adonai Notein HaTorah, Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Bless is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
And for those who are watching or visiting for the first time, we just want you to know, the reason we do Hebrew is so you can hear the tongue that the Messiah spoke and that you can be familiar with it. And know what it sounded like, and know that when they talked in the synagogues of old, and still today, when they read the Bible, they sing it. It's not read; it's actually sung. And so that's why we sing so much. And but that's why we also do the Hebrew. It's not, you know, because a lot of people in this area don't speak Hebrew, and that's understandable. But we want people to get a feel to hear what the Holy Tongue sounds like, and praise the Lord. So, Anthony, turn it over to you.
Okay, y'all can be seated. Okay, we got a double portion today, and it's called Tessaria, which means she conceived, and the second one is Metzora, which means affliction with Tezzerot. So these are from Leviticus chapter 12 through chapter 15, and if you do the half Torah, that's 2 Kings chapter 1, verses chapter 4 through chapter 5. Yes, through chapter 5. Okay, if you were here last week, we talked a lot about the rituals of purity, about cleanliness and purity as it applied to animals. We saw a little bit about the type of animals that we're supposed to eat and the other types of animals that we are not supposed to eat. They're unclean. And we talked about their feet and some of the ways you can identify them. Some of them creep and crawl and do all kind of little things on the ground, but those are sort of a no-no. But this week's parasha pertains about cleanliness and purity to us, to men and women. It's about us this week. It's interesting to note that God created the animals before he created mankind. He made the animals and put them in the Garden of Eden. And so we see today, if you read this parsha, the Tetzaria begins with Isha, who is Eve, and it talks about a woman who delivers a child. And if you know anything about the scriptures, you know blood is like, it means death. When you see blood, it's talking about death. And that's why the blood is drained from animals that sacrifice, And that's why we do, the blood is drained from animals that we consume. But see, tetzaria is it's a symbol of the service, avodah, that when a woman conceives, it brings into the world a new person, a new being that is in, it comes into God's creation. And so the birth of this creation is what was created at concept when the person was conversely formed. And that, of course, tells a lot about the world as far as abortion today, because most people will tell you that it's not considered a child until it's born. But we know that when a child at conception, that is a child right there, whether it's totally formed or not, but it has the Spirit of God within it, and it is a human being. It is a child. It is a gift from God. So that, enough of that said, but you know that we see today that God gives a particular instruction about what we do as far as the birth and purification for a woman. She's take a mikvah, and then on the eighth day, if it's a male child, it of course goes through the Brit Milah, which is a circumcision of the flesh of the eighth day. It's interesting to note, if you read the scripture of this Torah portion today, you'll notice that the purification for a woman who gives birth to a boy is 7 days. It's a week. And then it says that additional 33 days is added to that, means her total purification period that she can come back into the synagogue is 40 days. If it is a girl, it is, how many, anybody know how many days? It's actually 14 days, and then it's an additional 66 days that a woman can, before the total period of time for her to return is 80 days. Now that seems a little, that's sort of one of the things in God's word that's maybe a little hard to understand, is why boys are 40 days and girls are 80 days. But it goes back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam was born, was birthed actually on the sixth day, God put him in the garden on the seventh day. And if you remember the scripture, of course, Eve was not formed until the next week, which gives us the 14 days. But what's about the 33 and the 66? Did a lot of reading about it, and you have to go back. Again, it's back to when God actually let Adam go into the Garden of Eden, and he didn't start tilling the ground and taking care of the garden until 33 days later after he was put into the garden. And so we see that gives us the 40 days. And then the woman, Eve, Isha, she did not go into the garden until the remaining 66 days as far as working in the garden and tilling the land. That was taking care of the Garden of Eden that God had prepared not only for mankind, but also, I mean, for all the animals, but also for Adam and Eve. So that's the 40 days and the 66 and the 80 days. I'm sorry. But it's really about consecration. Why we do that? It's about the consecration of what God did for Adam and also for what he did for Eve and what he has done for us. So that, it's more about not actually counting the days and going back in, but actually it tells us about the consummation of God doing that. And so we go into the next part of it, and we see the Torah, you know, it talks about Mitzor, which is the second one. It's talking about Terazot, and that is, what's so interesting about this, it was not a disease that you could get and go to the doctor and get cured for. What was interesting, you had to go to the Kohen to see if you had Terazot. And so that's why the priest would judge and would judge the person to determine if they had Tesserot, to see if it was that. And Tesserot it's a negative effect upon your body. It's a spiritual type of an illness or a plague that a person would come up with. And it was only in the land of Israel. It's the only place that it happened. And not only that, but the Tesserot also, as being a plague, it also afflicted the person's skin. It afflicted your clothes and it afflicted your homes. So the priest had to go, the Kohen had to go around and check your clothing, your home, and your body to see if you suffered from it. And what were some of the first signs? It sort of gives us an example of sin, how it starts, because the first sign of Tesserot would be a little pink or white piece of skin would show, very tiny, and it gives us an example of sin, because sin begins very small and very tiny. Because the scripture says Satan attacks the tender leaves that we see that sort of stick through the fence. That's what he attacks. And once he gets a little bit of a foothold, or a beachhead, then he can really begin to work upon a person's life. But it all starts at a very tiny spot of your life. And so the Kohanim would have to review and declare that the person was Tameh, meant that they were impure. And if they were Tahor, it means that they were pure. And if you remember the scripture in the new covenant where Yeshua heals the lepers, and leprosy is what a lot of people relate to Tazara, but it's a little different than Hansen's disease. But he told them to go, and what did the scripture say that Yeshua told them to do? He said, go into the Kohanim and show yourself, and then once you have done that, then you make the acceptable sacrifice. So you see, Yeshua was following the Torah to the letter because he knew that you had to have the Kohanim to inspect you, and once he says that you are Tahor, then you could go and make the sacrifice that was required in the temple. So that was an example of how Yeshua lived. Not only he lived there a perfect life, but he also followed the word of God to the letter. And what you had to do if you was afflicted with it, you had to live outside the camp. You had to go outside of the camp, and once you were allowed to return back in, here was the offering that was given. You would take two birds, a thing of water, a bucket of water. You would take some cedar wood, scarlet thread, and you would bring a bundle of hyssop. And, of course, the cedar wood, you know, the hyssop is the smallest of the plants that you would see. It's interesting that God chose those animals with a bird that would be used for the purification. And we see, you know, in the Torah, some things are very simple, and some things other times are very complex. They're very, sometimes very, very deep and very hard and complexing to understand. But it only occurred, like as I said, in the land of Israel. It's the only place that Tezzerot occurred. And the instruments had to be clean. Not only the Torah instructs us, but we as people also are to be clean, not only on the inside, but on the outside. It's not, people see you on the outside, but God sees you on the inside. He knows your inner workings and your thoughts, and he sees us as from where we're really at. Like my grandmother always said, when you get in a room and cut the light off, that's really you in the room. That's you right there in the darkness that nobody else sees you but God. And so that is really who you are right there. And so that's, again, it begins. But actually, Tezzerot is a sin of the tongue, Lashon Hara. And it tells us about an evil tongue. It's for, you know, speaking about someone. Even if you're telling something that's true about someone, that's still considered a sin. It's still considered evil of the tongue to speak about someone because it is generating the concept of gossip that you are telling about someone. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 8 through 9 tells us to be careful what we say and be careful of what we do. That's what God is telling us. What we say, even if you're at the checkout at the grocery store, if you're a little hateful with the lady or man that's checking you out, that God is saying be careful what you say because you don't know what kind of day that person's had, and they don't know what kind of day we've had, so God is telling us, be careful. Because Tezzerot, the evil tongue, kills three people. You kill yourself, you kill the person that's listening to you, and the person that you are talking about, even though it may be true, you are actually killing them too because it's murder. It's committing murder with the tongue. And if you've been to court, a lot of times that murder really, when you talk about the tongue in court, you can really get into deep trouble as people have been sentenced because people have told things that were not necessarily the truth, things of God, what this should be. But God has established his mitzvahs, and they cannot be changed or altered. They're eternal. And so today, just to close this morning, God is telling us that what we sow is what we will reap in this life. So again, Deuteronomy chapter 24, be careful what we say and what we do because God is watching us. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Don't take a marriage. Hashiveinu Adonai Elef Ha'Menashuma Ha'Resh Ha'Resh Ha'Menu Ha'Resh Ha'Menu Kekedem.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her. And all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to mention a word about my son Isaac. And, you know, he went, for those who didn't know or just listening, he went to the emergency. It's a clinic that has all the tests. They do scans and everything. And they thought that he's been sick for 3 weeks. He's had 3 COVID tests. He's been on antibiotics. He's had tightness in his chest. And has trouble breathing. He's on a nebulizer, all his stuff, and he's a strong kid. He's lifts 300 pounds. He's a football player, but you know he's just having trouble breathing, and so they said he might have a blood clot. And I rebuke that. I don't receive it. I don't believe it. But I think that you know it's probably just a bronchitis or a walking pneumonia or something. You know, and they said he's not contagious, so don't worry. You know, if he comes, I don't know if he's coming or not. But anyway, the point is, when he was born, he didn't eat. He didn't thrive. And when he was a baby, we took him home from the hospital after 2 or 3 days, and he wasn't eating. And after about a day or two, we're like, he's not eating. And he was so tiny, he was like, he could fit in my hand. And we took him back to the hospital, and they put him in an incubator. And I was scared. I really thought he was gonna die. You know, I was really feared for his life. He was so little and he wasn't eating. And they were put a feeding tube in him and stuff, and they were, you know, and I just got down on my knees and I was crying. I was praying to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Joe, he's not yours, he's mine. He put him in my hands. He belongs to me. You're his father, his earthly father, but I'm all of your fathers. Amen. You know, I'm your father in heaven, and I'm his father. And you just put him in my hands. He belongs to me. He's gonna be okay. And he grew up. He's been, you know, playing sports since he was a little boy, basketball, football. And, you know, he's a normal kid. And, you know, he overcame that. He's going to overcome this, too. And I was with a guy the other day, and I'm going to zip it in a second. But I was with a guy the other day who I went to do some business with, and he's 80 years old. And he had bronchitis twice last year at 79, and he had pneumonia. This man who's 80 years old had bronchitis twice in the same year and pneumonia, and he survived. It knocked him for a loop. I mean, seriously, it knocked him. You know, he says, "I'm just getting my strength back," and I know God has His hand on this man, and he's got a call on his life. You know, he's a very critical person in this community, spiritually. You know, and people need him, and God needs him and is using him. So anyway, you know, if God can heal a man who's 80 years old from 2 bouts of bronchitis and a bout of pneumonia, you know, and bring him back on his feet, he can do anything. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we serve an awesome God. We serve a miraculous God. Hallelujah. Don, what's next?
Hallelujah. Just going to... A couple announcements, and then we'll move along. And I was just checking the traffic there. I'm supposed to go to Knoxville, but there's a big accident. And, I mean, it's been blocked since 4:30 this morning, it says. So I think I'm just going to go to Tri-Cities, and I'll have to take two legs. I had a positive space on the other one, but anyway. So I'm going to relax and enjoy the rest of the service, okay? And just go to Tri-Cities.
Woo-hoo.
All right. Praise the Lord. We are going to have a Shani Passover, which is a Passover that comes a month later. We're in the season of Shavuot, the Spirit, we're going to celebrate Passover a month late because we were the rabbi was traveling, and
Numbers,
according to Numbers
9:6,
and so
if the priest is traveling,
then we are allowed to do it a month later.
Amen.
According to the Torah, so that's what we're going to do, and it's going to be small thing. It's not going to be a big banquet. We're just going to have a small thing in our fellowship hall, and we're also going to broadcast it via Zoom. So if anyone wants to join us, we're going to set that up so you can join us. But we're planning just to have a small group in our fellowship hall. We have a limited amount. If you're interested in coming, please let us know. But we do have limited seating, and so just keep that in mind. It might be more comfortable in your home.
Yeah.
And
there is one family of four that I had said yes to, and if they're watching, I'm going to call you. Won't name you on the TV, whatever. But I will call. I said I'd call you, and just had a crazy week, so didn't forget you.
So that being said, that's next Sunday night. I believe we set it for 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the evening is when it starts next Sunday. So, what we do need for those of us who are here is we need a head count for who's coming from the congregation. And, so if you please let us know, let's send around a list so we get I know that Miss Diane had talked, because we had thought about doing it on the Passover, and it didn't work out. So she got an initial head count then, but we're going to redo it. So we don't want to know specifically if you're coming or not. And then those who are coming, we're probably going to be catering from Food City, a turkey. And so there will be expenses. So we'll come up with a price per person. You're going to pay if you go to Cracker Barrel, right? Because we're going to have a meal and everything. So we'll all have a price, what it's going to cost for the meal.
And they what Food City does, and we do this on Thanksgiving, they make a nice big roast turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and green beans and stuff. So that's what we're going to do, and then we'll probably make our own stuffing, but
we'll have sides, and yeah. We're going to all work together for the sides and for the Seder plate, and Carol and Diane are putting that together, and so I'm going to be gone for 4 days. I'll be back Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so you guys are going to need to work together to put it all, get it all working. Okay? Can we do that? And I think we're going to have a meeting during Oneg today. I may not be here. So Carol and Diane will be, in taking care of that. And so just stay, and we can talk about the details, those who's going to volunteer for different things. Okay?
Amen.
Other than that, Shavuot.
We have some visitors.
Yes, we have some visitors, and Rabbi's going to introduce.
Gloria and Angelica are here. Amen. I get that right. Very biblical names. Praise the Lord. Are you sisters? All right. How far apart? 4 years. All right. I would have thought you were twins. seriously, I really did. I bet you get that a lot. Well, welcome. Let's give it up for Gloria and Angelica. Praise the Lord. What else do we have, Don?
Just the fact that next week Ted Pierce is going to be joining us
on Shabbat.
On Shabbat, so
in Hadassah,
and he's going to be bringing his lovely new wife. And I think many of you already experienced him, but so please bring a friend. It'd be great. It's going to be great worship. We always have great worship, but Ted Pierce is special, and he's close by. He's world renowned.
Yeah, you can check him out on Spotify.
Worship leader. I mean, he is.
Pandora.
He's the top on Messianic worship, and one of the top anyway. And so, for those of you in this area, this is a treat. If you're not coming to worship with Ted Pierce, I don't know why, because he's just awesome. And so bring a friend. Let's come rejoice. We are in the fourth week of Shavuot.
He's the top, Ted.
He's the top. There's ZZ Top, and then there's
top
then
Ted.
There's T Top Ted. TT Top. So we're in the fourth week of, I believe it's right, we've got three sheaves there, so I'm thinking we're in the fourth week of Shavuot. We're counting 7 weeks. And so there will be a celebration for Shavuot as well, and we'll keep you posted on what we're doing and what's going to happen then. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So unless I have missed something, we're going to continue with tithes and offerings, Rabbi.
Okay. All right. Let's pray. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. There's a box in the back. And, you know, something I didn't tell you and Dawn didn't tell you, we've been vandalized. They've had people break windows twice last week here. And I think I announced one last week. They broke a window downstairs below me, right below where I am, but in the back wall, there's a window. And we couldn't find a bullet. We couldn't find a rock. We just found shattered glass. We didn't know how it happened. And then, so we called, we swept up the glass, and Fred, our friend Fred Middleton, he came and he covered it up with cardboard and with duct tape and got it secured, you know. And then on this side, in the same room, another window was smashed. Am I right, Carol? Was it this side? Another window was smashed Monday, 2 days after service last week. Carol came in and found glass, and somebody had smashed another window. They can't get in here because we have a 6-foot fence, chain link commercial fence with razor wire on top. So we're like Congress. I mean, you just can't get in here. You know, even though this is the people's house, you just can't get in. You can't go to my office, sit at my desk. Oh, having fun. Okay, so anyway, so somebody busted a window. So we're like, all right, did you see a bullet? No. Did you see a rock? No. And then Vicky's husband, our administrative assistant, is a fireman. He said, they probably took a slingshot and an ice cube, and you can do that. You can take a slingshot and an ice cube and bust a window, and by the time you find it, 2 days later after the weekend, it's dried up, and you have no idea how the window broke. So we're being attacked. I mean, it's been a really rough week with Isaac's health, and I've been struggling. You know, I'm with my own with chemotherapy that I'm on, and just, you know, getting the newsletter out, which we did. Thank you all. I want to thank everybody who helped. Raise your hand if you helped. Anybody who was here, I don't know. I see Carol back there. And praise the Lord. Thank you for helping Carol. She's always so faithful to help with the newsletter. And anyone else that helped who's watching, or, you know, we're grateful that you came. And I know others come, you know, different times. But we had 14 people here to do the newsletter Thursday and get it out and get it folded and mailed. And amazing. 14 people showed up. So, and then most of them aren't from here. These are friends of the ministry who just came to volunteer. One woman brought 4 children, and she's a dear friend, Caroline, and her children, I won't name her last name, but she came and they were like an army. You know, it's amazing. I mean, it's a big job getting that newsletter out. I mean, it goes out to thousands of people. So anyway, we're going to take up our offering. If you're online and you'd like to support Messianic Jewish Ministry, if you're blessed by this ministry, if you're blessed by the teachings, and we need your support. We've got many needs here, from carpet. We've got carpet that's taped down, and we've got, you know, broken windows we've got to deal with. I had actually brought a guy to come and estimate putting in new windows, but now I'm thinking about putting hurricane shutters on, you know, the kind they roll down in Florida to protect from things flying like rocks or ice cubes. You know, I'm thinking about putting hurricane shutters on instead of new windows. Seriously, I mean, who would it, what kind of a nutcase would attack a synagogue or a church? You know, that's crazy. You know, where do you want to spend eternity? I don't know. But anyway, we just pray for that person, because if they repent, God will forgive them. So, Lord, forgive them. And we're going to take our offering. So if you'd like to give online, you can do so. We have right there on our website. You can just go to our website. If you're watching on the website, there's a donate button, and you can give through PayPal however, or credit card or mail, any way you like. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the givers, and we thank you for the gifts, and we just bless them 100-fold, we pray. And we just thank you, Lord, that we for the opportunity to give back to you what you've given so abundantly and richly to us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that as a man sows, so shall he reap. And so help us to be cheerful givers, Lord. And we just thank you in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
As we fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye, we will see his precious face and know the wonder of his grace, and his love will say, welcome home, welcome home. As we fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye, we will see his precious face and know the wonder of his grace, and his love will say, welcome home, welcome home. Jesus is coming to the earth. From this land he'll take us home. Jesus is coming to the earth. We'll lead the sadness we have known. As we fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye, we will see his precious face and know the wonder of his grace, and his love will say, welcome home. God's house to see the one that we've adored. We are going to God's house, to the open arms of the Lord. As we fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye, we will see his precious face and know the wonder of his grace. And his love will say, welcome home, welcome home.
some piano up here. I'm all the way up on my volume on the piano, so I need it in the monitor. Thank you.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful. Your streams of abundance flow.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name
when I'm found in the desert place.
When I walk through the wilderness.
Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. There's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Give and take away, give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
All right, let's bless him. Let's give him a blessing because he is worthy. Amen.
Let's bless him Jewish style.
Blessed is Adonai, sing his praises.
Blessed is Adonai in all the earth.
Blessed is Adonai.
Blessed is Adonai in all the earth.
Fortress redeemed.
Again. Oh, blessed is Adonai, sing his praises.
Blessed is Adonai in all the earth.
Blessed is Adonai, his love endures forever.
Blessed is Adonai in all the earth.
Fortress redeemer, there is none beside him.
Rock of Israel,
my God in whom I trust.
Blessed is
Adonai, sing his praises.
Blessed is Adonai in all the earth.
Hallelujah, he is worthy, amen.
Yes, amen. Glory.
Stand up and put your hands together.
Endures forever.
Worthy is Adonai in all the
Israel, my God, anew my trust. Merciful as Adonai, sing his praises. Merciful as Adonai in all the earth.
Hallelujah. Adonai is mighty. Amen.
Mighty is Adonai, sing his praises. Mighty is Adonai in all the earth. Mighty is Adonai, his love endures forever. Mighty is Adonai in all the earth.
Fortress Redeemer, there is none beside him. Rock up Israel, my God in whom I trust.
Mighty is Adonai, sing his praises. Mighty is Adonai in all the earth.
Yes, glory.
Adonai.
Fill me with joy.
Hallelujah. Thank you for the mercy of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. He has shown us mercy in so many different ways. Sometimes we just need to recognize and know that He's in heaven and He's working things out, whatever they are, whatever we're going through.
Yes.
He's working it out.
Amen.
And
Amen.
His goodness is always there. We sometimes get discouraged because we don't see the goodness. But He's always working goodness out for us. If we'll just let Him, if we'll follow Him, be obedient to Him, and even when we fail, He is able to make lemonade out of lemons. Amen.
Amen.
You are God
in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be filled. Yeshua, I am so in love with you.
Are you in love with Yeshua? I hope you are. He is worth it.
Amen.
Some grape juice or fruit of the vine, some crackers or matzah, and you'd like to join us at the Lord's table at home, wherever you are, just get yourself ready. And I'm going to make my way over. Josh, if you'll move the camera. Carol, if you'll put my mic on the headset. And thank you, Laura. Okay. Hallelujah. This is beautiful worship, Miss Dawn. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We have a new sign here. That's the hallelujah sign. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the hallelujah praise sign. The yeah. We also have the, can I get an amen sign?
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
And then for later in the sermon, we have the get over it sign. So hallelujah, can I get an amen and get over it? Because when you can't get an amen, you got to get over it. All right, well, on the night he was betrayed, Yeshua, Jesus, took the third cup of the Passover meal. Luke 22 says that the Last Supper was a Passover. If you read it carefully, it says that he said to his disciples, he said, go and to the man, I think he had a donkey, or he was holding a pitcher of water. Pitcher of water, that's right. Go to the man, ask the good man of the house, where is the place where we can celebrate the Passover? Amen? And he shall show you an upper room furnished, there make ready. That's what he said. He'll show you an upper room, there make ready. And so they went, as he had said, and they made ready. They prepared the Passover. Amen? They prepared the Passover. So the Last Supper was a Passover meal. So we know it was lamb because Yeshua kept the Torah, and therefore they would have eaten lamb. That's three things Moses said to eat on Passover was lamb, bitter herbs, and matzah. Could have added some other things. I'm sure they did. But those were three basic things they had to eat. Lamb. So it wasn't fish like Da Vinci showed us. And there were no loaves. There was unleavened bread. It was crackers because there's no leaven. So Da Vinci got it wrong, but he got a lot of credit for it posthumously. Anyway, but what they did have were these little wafers, which was broken matzah called afikomen. And every Jew, traditional Jew, at Passover takes this little piece of bread broken called the afikomen together with the third cup called the cup of redemption, always taken after the Passover meal. One thing Jews are really good at, especially traditional Jews, religious Jews, is keeping tradition. They keep doing the same thing that they've always done, and they keep doing it over and over and over and over and over. Amen? So the third cup of redemption is what it's called, is the cup of, and Yeshua said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. And he took the afikomen, the broken piece of matzah, you know, that he broke, that every leader of the Seder gives, Passover Seder meal gives out. And he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. So he changed the meaning of Passover. He was instituting the new covenant that Jeremiah talked about, the prophet. Wrote in Jeremiah 31:31 when he said, behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their ancestors, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them. But this is the covenant I will make with them in that day, and I will put my Torah within them, my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no more will they say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Amen? And that's the new covenant Jeremiah foretold. And Yeshua was saying right there at that Passover, that's one of the, in my newsletter this month, that's the second Passover I talk about. And he was changing the meaning of Passover forever. It wasn't about just slavery in Egypt. Now it was about personal redemption from slavery to sin. Hallelujah. So we invite all believers. I'm going to bless it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. And so, we invite all believers in the Messiah to partake with us. And if you're not a believer, and you'd like to meet the Messiah, let's just bow our heads for a minute. If anyone would like to meet the Messiah, the Bible says he's the Son of God. He came to die for your sins and mine. Incredibly, he was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day. And if you believe in his resurrection and believe in that he is the Son of God, you will be saved. Amen? A lot of people believe he was born. They believe he died, but it's that resurrection thing. You've got to believe he rose from the dead. Amen? Can I get an amen? I got to get the sign out. Sign. Let me see. Amen. Praise the Lord. So pray this prayer with me. If you'd like to meet the Messiah, just pray with me right now. Dear God, I want to meet the Messiah. I've messed up in my life. I have broken your laws. I don't even know what your laws are. I know some, but I don't know them all. But Lord, I need your forgiveness. I want you to come into my heart. Wash me with your blood. Cleanse me with the water of the Holy Spirit. Make me a new creation. Come into my life, Yeshua, Jesus. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Change me. Help me. Help me straighten out. Put me on a straight path, a new path. Right now, right here, today, right where I am. Put my name in your book of life, God. In Yeshua's name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, please contact me. If God came into your life just now and you received the Messiah, you made acquaintance with him. I have a gift for you, okay? So please contact me. All right. And everyone else, L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Hallelujah. Josh, would you get my chair, please? Oh, you already did. Josh is on it. He is, I'm telling you. He's a big help to me. Hallelujah. All right, so today we're going to talk about the miracle of Shavuot, the miracle of Pentecost. Now, last week we had a sermon on, I said I'm going to begin a series of messages on Shavuot. That's the Hebrew word for Pentecost. So let me just review a little bit what we talked about last week. We talked about that I began last week by asking the question, what were all those Pergians, Pamphylians, Parthians, Medes, people from Rome and Cappadocia, Asia Minor, and Africa, Egypt, what were they doing in Jerusalem on that day in Acts chapter 2? Why were they there at the temple? What brought them there? Why were they gathered together? And it says proselytes. Proselytes were Gentiles who believed in the God of Israel. They were non-Jews who believed in the God of Israel, and they were coming to celebrate a holiday, a feast. And that feast is laid out in Leviticus 23, so we can start in Leviticus 23 just to familiarize quickly. I'm not going to dwell on this today, although last week I do recommend you go back on our website and watch, or on my Facebook page. If you know me on Facebook, if you go back last week and watch the message if you want to learn about some cool stuff that I talked about that I'm not going to talk about today. But anyway, so in Leviticus 23, start in verse 1 for a second. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these." Okay, so this is really neat what God's saying here. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times. Well, that's just a fancy word for God's appointments. Amen? God's appointed times, God's appointments. So God has appointments, and there's 8 of them listed in this chapter. And then the second thing, it's in the word in Hebrew, is moed. Can you all say that? Moed? Moed. Okay, so then it says, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations. What's a holy convocation? Who can tell me what a holy convocation is? A gathering, a sacred gathering. Like what we're doing right now, worship. Shabbat, going to church, a wedding, a funeral, a baptism, whatever it is you're doing in the house of the Lord, whatever, even or outside, even a, you know, a baptism down by the river, circumcision, whatever. I'm serious. That's a holy convocation. When you get together to worship God or a prayer meeting, that is a holy convocation. But the word in Hebrew is a mikre kodesh. A mikre kodesh. And the word mikre kodesh also means rehearsal. So it's not only is it a solemn gathering, but we're rehearsing something. And the question is, what are we rehearsing? Aha. Well, maybe we'll get to that at some point. But let's go on. So there's eight of these appointments, these rehearsals, listed in Leviticus 23. And if we go to verse 15, I think it's, yeah, I was in the wrong chapter. Leviticus 23, verse 15. You shall also count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering. So last week I talked about the sheaves of the offerings. And that's a really cool message if you watch that, because I'm not going to get into it now. It would just take too long. But I recommend that you go back and watch that teaching on the sheaf, on the wave offerings. And but anyways, so he's talking about Passover here, Moses. He's talking about Passover. So he says, you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. What's the day after the Sabbath? Well, if you read Matthew 28, it says on the morrow after the Sabbath, in Matthew 28, it says the women, Mary Magdalene and what was her name? Salome, I think it's Salome and Mary Magdalene, they went to the tomb on the morrow after the Sabbath. It's right there in Matthew 28:1. They went to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away. And there were these angels kind of sitting there. And they were a little scared. And they said, you know, women, what are you looking for? This Yeshua that you're looking for, he's not here. He is risen. See the tomb where he lay. Go on, take a look. He's not here. Amen? He's not here. He's risen. See the tomb where he lay. Go on, take a look. He's not in there. Doesn't even smell. Praise the Lord. He didn't decay. Hallelujah. And so they went. So that was the Sabbath of Passover. Remember, he was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on Sunday. So really, if you count back, if he rose from the dead early Sunday morning, and the Sunday morning in the Bible, in the biblical calendar, begins at sundown the night before. So Saturday night at sundown would be the beginning of the first day of the week. Sabbath ends on Saturday evening at sundown, and Sunday begins. So he could have risen from the dead anytime after sunset on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Okay? Now, in the year that he died, it was a Sunday, Pentecost, Shavuot, the day that he rose from the dead, I'm sorry, not Shavuot, but the resurrection day was a Sunday. It was the first day of the week, right? We all agree on that? Pentecost Sunday? Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. I'm going to make you say it. So he rose from the dead on Sunday, but he had to be in the tomb 3 days and three nights. Now, you can't get 3 days and three nights from Good Friday, can you? I mean, if if he was crucified Friday afternoon, that's one day. Then Friday night is the beginning of Saturday, so but it's a night, so it's that's one night, so it's a day and a night. And then Saturday day is Saturday, that's Shabbat, that's 2 days, Friday and Saturday, 2 days, and then Saturday night is the beginning of Sunday. That's when he rises from the dead. So it's 2 days and two nights, and he rises from the dead. So you can't get 3 days and three nights from a Good Friday. So Good Friday is just really Shabbat. It's Sabbath. It's the beginning of Sabbath. Sabbath, why do I say that? Remember Genesis, it was evening and it was morning the first day. Remember? It was evening and it was morning the second day. There was evening and there was morning the third day. And that's how the Jewish people, and that's how the Bible counts, starts the day. It doesn't start at midnight. It starts at sundown. It was evening and it was morning the first day. Okay, so he had to have been crucified on Thursday that week, in that year, in order for him to be in the tomb 3 days and three nights. Somebody really nailed me on this one time. A guy who was, an older gentleman, a friend of mine, he's passed on, a lovely guy, Fred Meredith. But he really, he laid down the law with me. I was teaching, and I had my days mixed up, and he came up to me afterward. He said, "Joe, how many days was Yeshua in the tomb?" I said, "I don't know. Geez, Fred, I don't know. It was 3 days, right?" The Bible says 3 days and three nights. Now count those days. He learned me. He learned me good. Amen? So I have got it down. Okay. Now this year, everybody say this year, Passover started on a Saturday night. Amen? Amen. Saturday night's all right for fighting. No, it's not. It's not a good night for fighting. Elton John said that, but... I like the Bay City Rollers better, but that's my favorite Saturday song. Anyway, but that's besides the point. So this year it began on after Sabbath. Passover began after the Sabbath. So the first Passover, first Sabbath of Passover this year was a week later. Okay, so it's unusual. This was an unusual year. This was not like the year that the Messiah was actually crucified and buried and rose from the dead. The days don't fit as well, okay? But with that said, what we're talking about here, and go back to Leviticus 23, verse 15, you shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. So from the day, let's assuming that he was crucified on Thursday, buried 3 days and three nights, Thursday, Friday, Saturday are the 3 days, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night are the three nights, and then he rises from the dead sometime on Sunday, which starts Saturday night. Count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be seven complete Sabbaths. So count 7 weeks. And it says you shall count 50 days, verse 16, to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring in from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. And that was called the Feast of Weeks. Jews called it the Feast of Weeks. It was 7 Sabbaths, 7 weeks, 49 days, plus one to the Sunday, to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Amen? You following me? 7 weeks plus one, 50. 50 days, Pentecoste. In Greek, Pentecoste means 50th, as in 50, 50 days. So the Greeks focused on the 50, and the Jews focused on the weeks. But it's the same holiday. So Greeks call it Pentecost, Jews call it Shavuot, which means weeks. They're focusing on 7 weeks. But same holiday. It's the only holiday, interestingly, besides... Well, it's Thanksgiving. It's the only holiday that Jews and Christians celebrate together. It's the only holiday that Jews and Christians actually share. I don't think the church celebrates as much as they used to, even though it's considered by most Christians I've met, consider it to be the birth of the church, Pentecost, as the birth of the church. Would you agree with that? Amen? Amen. So most Christians believe that Pentecost, and if maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. It's close, whenever the birth of the church was, I don't know. See, Jews aren't into birthdays, and that's why we really don't know the birthday of the Messiah. It doesn't tell us what day he was born. You won't find December 25th in the Bible. It doesn't say it. It's not in there. I went over this last week. I gave a teaching on when he might have been born based on the biblical calendar. So if you watched the message last week, you'll see it. I'm not going to go over it. Okay, so, but he wasn't born on December 25th. There's a whole lot of other reasons why people say that and why early church fathers said that. But it has nothing to do with the Bible. It has nothing to do with Jesus. And it has nothing to do with his birth. But Jews didn't celebrate birthdays. There's only one birthday they celebrated. His first. Not even his first. The day he was born. They didn't even celebrate his first birthday. They celebrated the birth of the Messiah. And the angels rejoiced and the shepherds came and worshipped him, and the wise men came and they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh and precious spikenard. They brought precious things, precious what would you call, would they oils? I don't know. Essential herbs? I don't know. I guess. And gold. Why do they bring them those things that cost a lot of money? Because the family was going. Not only were they honoring him by giving him wealth and giving him rich things of rich people in those days. Most people couldn't afford spikenard. It's expensive. And frankincense and myrrh were probably expensive too. So where it came from, the Far East. They didn't make frankincense. Didn't come from Israel. He had to go to the Far East to get it. I think Jordan or Iran or Iraq, somewhere it's grown farther east than Israel. Frankincense doesn't come from Israel. So it's expensive. Why would they give him those things? Because he was going to Egypt, and he had to live in Egypt, and his family had to live in Egypt, and they were poor. So they needed money, right? You're going to take a big trip, several weeks journey. Took the children of Israel 40 years to get from Egypt to where he was. really, it's just a few weeks, just probably a few weeks journey. 10 days, they say. If you're hustling, it's 10 days. If you go take your time, it's 2-3 weeks. Anyway, they went to Egypt. They needed money. They didn't have a job. They needed to eat. They needed a home. They needed a place to stay. God provides. Amen? God provides. All right, let's move on here. So you see, what were those Pergians, Pamphylians, Parthians, Medes, Cretans, Arabs, proselytes, and Jews from every place around, every nation around, in Egypt and Africa? What were they all doing there? They were celebrating an ancient feast of Moses in Acts chapter 2. They were 1,400 years, roughly, after Moses. They were still celebrating this ancient feast of Moses. Now, think about this for a second. The United States, some would say, may not be here in 5 years. The way things are going, and I've been predicting it, and I have a newsletter called The Last President of the United States, which is out there on the table outside, and then I have another newsletter called The Divided States of America that I wrote in 2020, August, 2020. This was last year I wrote this, The Divided States of America. And I wrote an article called The Last President of the United States 4.5 years ago, predicted that Donald Trump, it wasn't a political article. I didn't know anything about Donald Trump except that he was on The Apprentice and that he said, "You're fired," and that he was a tough businessman and that he was, he was a real, character. The guy was a character. Whatever you like, you don't like his politics, you like his politics, whatever. Donald Trump is a character. He was famous. He owned a football team back in the 80s. He owned the New Jersey Generals. He owned an airline, Trump Airlines, which he had like gold. Everything was gold. I flew on his airline. Everything was gold, even the bathroom, like the sink was gold. I don't know if it was real gold, but it was, it was pretty wild. So anyway,
So I predicted that Trump was going to be the next president 9 months before he was president. And I wrote this article, and I said he was going to be hated, which he was. I said, by many, he was loved by many too. But I said he was going to be hated. I said that he was going to defeat ISIS, which he did. I said that he was going to be very close with Israel, which he was. Israel, he made peace with Israel. He helped Israel make peace with Arab countries that, who wouldn't, you, I mean, if you have any knowledge of the region, to think that Israel could make a peace treaty with Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, I can't think, what was the other? Oh, Morocco. And, you know, make peace treaties with all these Arab countries. I think five countries joined the treaty. This is amazing. An amazing achievement that the news media just ignored it. I mean, he should have gotten, anybody else would have gotten the Nobel Peace Prize. Anybody else would have gotten but him. But he didn't get anything. He didn't even get, didn't get the cover of Time, didn't get the cover of anything. You know, no recognition. He made more peace in the Middle East than anybody's ever made. All right, let's move on. So, why was I even talking about that? What was I, somebody help me out. What was I talking about before that that led me to those articles? The divided states. Well, was I, anybody remember what I was talking about before that? Well, thank you, Diane. That's true. That's what I did say, but I don't remember why I said it. I didn't. Yeah, we're talking about, oh, so those people, you know, coming to Israel to worship the God of Israel, and I don't know how I got into that, but if I go back and listen, I'll find out why I said it. So, why they gave wealth. Because they were going to Egypt. Okay. Well, anyway, I got off on a tangent, so I'm capable. I'm prone to doing that now and again. So easy there, Bill. You don't have to agree with me all the time. Okay, let's go on. So, all right. So, Gentiles celebrate. Christians celebrate Pentecost as the birth of the church. Jews celebrate this harvest holiday, celebrating the wheat harvest, and they still celebrate it in Israel. You see the wheat there, the sheaves of wheat, and they'll dress up in costumes. Like I've seen young girls in parade. I was there for a parade on Pentecost, and these gals had, young ladies, you know, had, they dressed up as sheaves of wheat. That was interesting. I mean, you know. But they weren't, they didn't actually, like, they weren't like sticking their heads out of a wheat sheaf. What they had these white dresses on, like almost like a toga, but they had pictures of wheat, like they were actually a sheaf of wheat. You had to see it. Anyway, I don't think the style caught on, and I don't think you're going to find it at Citi or BKE or wherever you shop, you know, any of those trendy places that I shop at. Anyway, let's move on. So we all understand we're getting a picture of what Pentecost is, you know, when it was, how it came to be, why the Gentiles were there. What were, had nothing to do with Jesus. People were not there to worship the Messiah. Okay, had nothing to do with the resurrection. All right, so let's look at the miracle of it. Oh, that's why I was talking about Trump. I said, you know, America, it's possible, might not be a country in 5 years, you know, or 4 years, or 3 years. I don't know. 10 years. Who knows? But the way we're so divided, and it's not just me saying this. People, I'm seeing this on the news. I'm seeing people on the news saying this country will not survive if we don't. I've actually seen people, you know, very, you know, high-powered people on the news say if they don't see it a road to reconciliation between the left and the right in this country, you know? And I don't want that. I mean, I like the United States. I've enjoyed living here for 55 years almost. And I don't want to see America fall. I don't want to see, you know, what I'm seeing. I hate it. I hate this ugliness that's going on in this country right now. I don't like it. But, you know, all I can do is pray, and all we can do is pray. There's not much else we can do, you know. I mean, my ancestors, I look like, I guess people call me a privileged white guy, but my ancestors didn't own slaves. They came originally from the Middle East. I just look like a white guy that probably used to own slaves. My family didn't own slaves. In fact, my family were slaves in the time of Moses. So, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. And that's what Martin Luther King said. And you know, he said, don't judge a book by... judge a person by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Essentially, he's saying, don't judge a book by its cover. Judge a person by the content of their character. And, you know, my wife, who's a pilot, she's, you know, they've just announced this week that they're going to hire pilots based on their ethnicity, based on, you know, things like that. But don't you want a pilot, if you're flying on a plane, who's qualified? Or do you want a pilot because they're a female? There are two reasons they're going to hire pilots, because they're female or because they're ethnic. I would rather, God bless ethnic people and God bless women. I love women. And I love my wife. And I'm glad my wife is an airline captain. And she is anointed. She's the best pilot I know. I trust her more than any other pilot I've ever flown with. And I've trusted my life to her several times. And jets. And we've flown. She's flown me to Amsterdam. She's flown me to London. She's flown me from New York to upstate New York. She's flown me in small planes. You know, I have complete confidence in her. She's a great pilot. But you got to have the gift of flying, of aviation. You've got to have the gift if you're going to be a pilot, you know. You know, they just said 75% of young people are not qualified for the military. They're either too fat, they're either uneducated, or they're criminals. They're criminals. Or they were either the second one was either, I think, drug addicts, criminals, or they're obese. 75% of the candidates, young people for the military, are not eligible to be in the military because they're obese, they're into drugs, or they have criminal records. And that's pretty sad, isn't it? That's really sad. So anyway, let's finish this. Let's finish what I'm here to do. So what's the miracle? Israel... I talked about this country falling, you know, the fall of America. Israel fell. Did you know that? Let's turn to 2 Kings 17. Why did Israel fall? 2 Kings 17, verse 7. Now, this came about because the sons of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, 2 Kings 17, verse 7. Israel fell because the sons of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods, not the God of Israel, but the gods of Egypt and idols, and walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel, and in the customs of the kings of Israel which they had introduced. The sons of Israel did things secretly which were not right, against the Lord their God. Moreover, they built for themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. They set for themselves sacred pillars and asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. They burned incense in all the high places, as the nations did, which the Lord had carried away to exile before them. And they did evil things, provoking the Lord. They were pagan. God's people were pagan. They were worshiping idols. They were burning incense to false gods. And they were provoking the Lord. Verse 11. They were burning incense on the high places, as the nations did, which the Lord had carried away to exile before them. They did evil things, provoking the Lord. They served idols, concerning which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways. Keep my commandments, my statutes, according to all my law, which I commanded your fathers and which I sent you through my servants, the prophets." However, they didn't listen, but stiffened their neck like their fathers. They did not believe in the Lord their God. What are we doing here in America? We're doing the same thing. I just saw, like, on Highway 11 up in Bristol, Virginia, some satanic place. You know, I don't know if it's a church. It's got a big, you know, gargoyle, one of those demons at the entrance. It's up there around exit 10. You know, I don't know. I know there's been, we had a witch. My first night I ever preached 21 years ago at Living Waters Church in Abingdon, I did a service for Rosh Hashanah. I had a witch come in. We had 75 people, and a lady came, Brenda, who became a member of our congregation, Brenda. She brought a witch, and this lady was destined, her was expected to become the high priestess of her coven. I didn't even know she was there. It would have freaked me out. I was like, she's a witch. There's a witch in the room, you know. Hide underneath the pulpit, you know. No, seriously. But no, I might have been a little queasy knowing there was a witch there. But instead, I didn't know, and I preached the gospel, and she got saved. She got saved, and she got set free. Amen? And she suffered. She was very overweight, and she was very sick, and she lived another 14 years or so, maybe 14, 15 years, and she passed away. Don't you think the curses that her fellow witches placed on her because of what she did? She left the coven. She left the witches' brew, you know? She left them, and she was no more the high priestess, you know, in waiting. And she gave that up, so they were angry. You know, she stirred up the nest. And they, the curses, I believe these things. I believe, you know, they placed curses on Donald Trump when he was running for president. They were placing curses. I saw witch doctors on TV. This is like on major network TV. Witch doctors down in South America doing kabuki dances over President Obama when he was elected president. They were casting spells and doing all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of voodoo down in South America and in the Caribbean. They were doing this voodoo stuff, you know, and they showed it on like NBC, you know, and it's real. They're in this town. They're here. They're all over the place. And we even had one attending here, another one. This one didn't get saved. She was trying to place curses on me. And then she went to my friend's church in Elizabethton, the pastor who prayed for earlier, and I know a lot of people in that church. Well, they prayed that woman out of the area. You know, they have five prayer groups in that church, five prayer teams. And they went to praying against that spirit. Yeah. And they prayed that woman to, you know, Timbuktu. They prayed her out of Carter County. She lived in Carter County. Anyway, so the stuff is real. Spiritual warfare is real. The powers of darkness and the powers of light. And so Israel fell, and because they forsook, verse 16, they forsook all the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves molten images, even two calves, and made an Asherah and worshipped the host of heaven and served Baal. These are, you know, Baal was a cow. that came from Egypt, and Egypt worshipped cows. And Asherah is another name for Ishtar, or Easter, or the goddess Easter, Isis in Egypt, Asherah in Canaanite, Ishtar in Babylonian, and Easter in English. Same goddess. Same goddess of fertility. And that's where you get the name Easter. It's a mixture that the early Christian church took and made the resurrection day, combined it with the name of a pagan god. And that's what they did to Esther in Babylon. They made her name Esther. Her name was Hadassah, meaning myrtle. Her name was Hadassah. But they gave her a local name. They named her after a goddess. Wasn't she a goddess? She was beautiful. She was the most beautiful woman in the country. Remember that song, Venus, if you will, do 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 do, oh Venus. You know, they, men have been, you know, looking at beautiful women and treating them like goddesses, calling them goddesses, for decades. You know, for centuries. Diana was a goddess in the Bible, a false goddess. You know, Dionysus, whatever. You know, there have always been false goddesses. Sybil was another name for a false goddess. You know, there are numerous female false goddesses. Anyway, so why do they name Esther? Because they didn't know she was Jewish. And they took this little Jewish girl and they gave her the name of a goddess. Because what do you think the king of Persia and his queen were gods and goddesses to their people? They were worshipped as gods and goddesses. So they gave her the name of a goddess. And why would they give her the name of a fertility? Why would they give Esther or Hadassah the name of a fertility goddess? So she would have a male heir for the king, right? Call her the name of the chief fertility goddess of Babylon or Persia, right? And maybe you're going to get a boy. Isn't that what they wanted? Yeah. Prince William's done the job. What's his name? Her name, Kate? I don't know what goddess she is, but I don't know if Kate's a goddess. But anyway, she did the job. She produced three heirs, or two male heirs and one female. So knocked Harry off his high horse. We won't go there. Okay. Where are we? Why did Israel fall? They were totally pagan. They were idolatrous. They just said to God, "We don't believe in you. We reject you. And not only that, we're gonna thumb our noses at you, and worse than that." Okay, that's what they did. And so you know what he did? You know how God judged Israel? Go to Genesis 49. This is really cool. It says in Genesis 49, Jacob is blessing his sons. He had 12 sons, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Naphtali, Reuben, Joseph, Benjamin. I won't go on everything. But there was another son called Dan. Everybody say Dan. You know what Dan means? Judgment. Judgment. Dan. A Beit Din is a house of, is a court. A Beit Din is a place of judgment. Okay? A Din is the same, comes from the word Dan. So Dan, God says in verse 16 of Genesis 49, Dan shall judge his people. This is what Jacob said on his dying bed. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, a horned snake in the path. Not very nice, right? That bites the horse's heels so that his rider falls backward. It's a curse to fall backward in Israel, in Israel, in ancient Israel. If you fell backward and died, or, you know, that was a curse. That meant you were cursed, just like hanging in a tree. Why? So Dan is interesting because when Dan originally came into the land of Canaan, when the tribe of Dan, they actually went southeast where Gaza is. If you know on the coast in the southeast near Egypt, Dan had that territory down there from around Jaffa. Jaffa is the city on the coast, on the southeast coast of Israel. Yeah, southeast coast of Israel. Jaffa is where Dan was based. That was there. They were fishermen. And the symbol of Dan is the fish, fishermen. Fish, okay? Interestingly, Jaffa is the city where Jonah left from. It's one of the oldest cities in the world. Jonah left from Jaffa, or Joppa in your Bible, Joppa. Jaffa is what it's called. Jonah left from ancient Jaffa when he was running from God, and he got on that boat in Jaffa. You can read that for yourself. Anyway, Peter was in Jaffa when he was on the roof, and the sheet came down. Okay? So why did Dan leave the beautiful fishing? It's a beautiful country. Why did they leave the beaches and the fishing harbors of Jaffa and give up all that fruitful fishing and crops, and they could fish and grow crops and have... Why did they leave and go north to the border of Syria, way up north? They moved and they took land that no one had claimed on the Syrian border and on the border of Lebanon. Okay, they're right on the border of Lebanon and Syria. Why did they go up there in the middle of nowhere? No cities, really, no major cities. Good farmland, river, that's the beginning of the Jordan River. By the way, the city of Dan is right next to a place that you have heard called Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is a mile up the road. It's the same road, just a mile up the road from Tel Dan, the ruins of the city of Dan. Okay? So remember, who the false king, when the Israel split from Judah, the false king Jeroboam in 1 Kings 12, or I think it's 1 Kings 12, or yeah, 1 Kings 12, the false king Jeroboam, when he rejected David's son Rehoboam, and he took the 10 tribes to the north, he set up altars, golden calves, at Dan and Bethel. Remember that? Dan and Bethel. Where's Dan? Remember Jesus in Matthew 16, Jesus, Yeshua, he took his disciples up there to this place called Caesarea Philippi, and which was a pagan shrine to the god, false god, Pan. You ever heard of a pandemic? We're in the midst of one right now, a pandemic. Panic. Pan, what's some other words with pan? Pandemic, pandemonium. Pan was a goat. Pan was a goat with a human torso and head, with the ears of a goat and kind of like the beard of a goat, okay, the goatee, okay? But Pan had the legs and body, lower body of a goat. And that was the god, false god Pan. It was a Greek god or a pagan god, Roman or Greek or whatever, I don't know. But the Jews were worshiping. Herod had a palace up there. Herod, it was called Caesarea Philippi. Philip was one of the children of the original Herod. He was a Herod. Everybody say he was a Herod. He was one of Herod's sons. That's the Herod who persecuted the birth of Jesus, of Yeshua. When he died, he parted his land into four, his territory to his four children. And Caesarea Philippi was given to Philip, son of Herod. Herod Philip, whatever. Anyway, why would Jesus take why would he take his disciples to a pagan shrine to tell them he's the Messiah? And then he says, Peter, who do you say I am? Peter said, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he says, man didn't tell you this, God showed you this. And I tell you truly, your name is now Kepha, rock, calling you rock. Because on this rock, I'm going to build my congregation. Not church, but the word actually means ecclesia, means assembly. Doesn't mean building, like we think of a church building. It means my assembly, my congregation, the people. Amen? Go to a church, right? I belong to Grace Church. I belong to First Baptist Church. I belong to Central Presbyterian Church. It's a building. It's not the people. Okay? So Yeshua, what he was really saying is, on this rock, what rock? Peter said, you're the Messiah. On this truth, I'm going to build my assembly. On the truth that I'm the Messiah. Those who follow me in Israel and beyond will stand on the truth, the rock, solid rock, not a house of cards or sand. They'll stand on the rock, on the truth that I'm the Messiah, just as Peter said. Follow that? And my congregation isn't just the Catholic Church, but that's why they call it the church, because they didn't want it to be Jewish. Jews didn't know what a church was. Jews don't have churches. This isn't a church. This is a messianic, we call it a messianic congregation. Do we believe what Christians believe? Yeah. We believe Yeshua, Jesus, is the Son of God. We believe he died for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead on the third day. We believe it big time. That's the core belief. Amen? But we believe that Jew and Gentile need to worship together. Just like they did in the book of Acts. Just like they did in the book of Corinthians and all these, Paul and his Jewish friends went to all these different towns and Gentiles were there. You can read it. They're in the synagogues. There were always proselytes, Jews and Gentiles worshiping together, just like in Pentecost. Maybe that's the secret to Pentecost. Maybe the secret of Pentecost is that there were Jews and non-Jews worshiping together. And maybe that's why 3,000 were added that day and revival broke out and the Holy Spirit was poured out. Maybe it's had something to do with Jew and Gentile, one in the Messiah. Maybe that's what God's after. Maybe the Jew is the missing link in Christianity. Maybe the fact that a Roman emperor named Constantine kicked us out 1,800 years ago, kicked us Jewish believers and Jewish bishops and any Christians, Asian Christians that followed the Jewish ways, like Sabbaths and holidays, like Passover, maybe they kicked us out because that was the devil trying to destroy the church. And now we're back because God wants to bring us, put that broken piece of bread together. Remember that bread that's broken for you? My body? He wants to take the broken body that we just ate, representing his body, not literally his body, but he wants to put that body back together. We're living stones, Peter said. Yes. 1 Peter 2. We're living stones, I believe. Or 1 Peter 5, I can't remember, I'm sorry. But he said, we're living stones. You are a chosen people, a holy people, you know, and God is building you into a holy temple. Amen. A nation of priesthoods. Priestly nation. Praise God. Okay, so that's... Go back to why Israel was judged. So Dan, what did Dan do? It's a mile up the road from that pagan shrine to Pan. It's funny, Pan and Dan. Dan and Pan. Peter Pan. Peter's brother was Dan. Dan Pan. And his sister was San Pan. Okay. Sorry. Mile up the road. Dan. What did Jacob say that Dan was going to do? He's going to judge his brothers. He's going to judge the country. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel, it says in Genesis 49:16. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, a horned snake in the path that bites the horse's heel so that his rider falls back. Wow, that's not a blessing. He was blessing his sons. This is how he blessed Judah. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches. He lies down as a lion. As a lion, who dares rouse him up? The scepter, the ruling, you know, the king's scepter, shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. He's It's a messianic prophecy. He's prophesying that the Messiah is going to come out of Judah. That's a blessing. But Dan's going to judge his people. Well, what happened? Well, when the Assyrians came down in 722, guess what? When you sit, I've been to the gates of the city of ancient Dan. It's called Tel Dan. It's an archaeological site. It's a beautiful old city. It's the walls are still there. Most of those old cities, their walls aren't up. They're so ancient. And we're talking, 722 BC. That's 2,700 years ago, almost 3,000 years ago. They opened the gates when the Assyrian army was coming down the hill from the north. Dan's gates faced north. And I sat in the seat of the prophet. I sat in those gates. I sat in the seat of the prophet. My tour guide sat in the seat of the king. His seat is still there, the throne, stone throne. And the seat of the prophet's there. It's all really well kept. Why? Because Dan opened the gates and let the enemy in. Kind of reminiscent of what's happening in this country. Are we opening the gates and letting... Do you know that people from 49 countries they've counted so far as I know, 49 countries, not just Guatemala, Honduras, Ecuador, Mexico. People from 49, terrorists, people on the terrorist watch list from the Middle East have crossed the border into this country. We know from the ones we've caught, we don't know the ones we didn't catch. They've let the gates open. Why? That's how God judges a nation. That's how God judges a nation. He judged his own people, Israel. They left the gate, they left the doors open. If you leave the doors open to your house, what's going to happen sooner or later? Somebody's going to go in your house, right? Sooner or later. If you leave $500 on the dining room table, and you leave food in the kitchen, and you leave your jewelry on your dresser, and you unlock your doors and leave your house open, and you go away for 3 weeks, you think all that stuff's going to be sitting there when you get home? Not likely in this day and age. Not likely. It's like a welcome sign. Come on in. Door's open. Somebody's going to walk by that house every day, and they're going to look and they're going to say, I don't see any people there. Maybe I'll just go in and make sure everybody's all right. Oh, nobody's here. Well, there's $500. Oh, okay. Oh, there's a little, look in there. There's jewelry. Oh, I'll just take some of that. Oh, there's food. Hey, I'm hungry. I have a snack. Take off. Maybe I'll sleep there for a few days. This is one of the, maybe not the only miracle of Pentecost, but I said I was going to teach them the miracle of Pentecost. Israel is a country again. After 2,000 years of not being a country, Israel is a country that speaks the same language it spoke in the time of Jesus, of Yeshua. It's a country again with Jews. The physical descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are back in the land. They don't always agree with each other, but one thing they can agree on, they love their country. And they'll fight for their country. I think that's our problem in this country, as we're not all patriots. Amen. There are people in this country who are citizens who hate this country. And they hate it. They hate America. They hate the Constitution. They hate the government. You know, there was a group out in Portland that was marching. This was on main regular news. This wasn't just on Fox or something. They were marching when Biden became president after, like a month later. Down with Biden. These are people on the left saying, down with Biden, overthrow the government. Get rid of this government. This wasn't a Trump versus Biden thing. These were people on the left that want to destroy the government. So That's how Israel was judged, the same way, because they didn't follow God, and we're not following God as a nation. And we've forsaken God. And I was talking to an 80-year-old man the other day. You know what he said to me? He said, I knew when abortion started when they legalized abortion in 1973, that America was going to fall. I knew when they took prayer out of schools 60 years ago, 1960, 62, I knew that prayer, that this country was going to fall. I've known for 60 years, he said. As soon as they took prayer out of the schools, then he said to me, this man, he said to me, he actually deals in currency. He said to me, when Nixon went off the gold standard, he said, I knew this country was going to fall. Three things he gave me: abortion, we went off the gold standard, in other words, our money, that's receipt. This is worth about as much as this. There's nothing there's nothing backing up this except that you believe that it has value. There has nothing backing it up. It has no value. It's just that only on the day when Americans believe that it doesn't have value and stop accepting it as currency. Do you know, if you had bought who knows what a Dogecoin is? Who knows? Anybody heard what a Dogecoin is? You ever heard of cryptocurrency like Bitcoin? Okay. Dogecoin was started as a joke about, I don't know, 8 months ago or a year ago. It was started as a joke. It's gone up 1,000%. If you had spent $1,000 on Doge January 1st this year, you could buy a Tesla today. Your $1,000 would be worth $55,000 as of this morning. If you had put $1,000 on Dogecoin, which is a joke, Elon Musk said, who let the Doge out? He made a tweet. He did a tweet. This is about a month and a half ago. Who let the Doge out? I mean, the thing was a joke. And his tweet made that thing, people started buying it. And it's gone up in value since the first of the year. I've always been telling you, find streams of income. Find other streams of income than your job. Invest. Not saying stock market. Pray and ask God, God, how can I invest? If you'd put $1,000, you'd put $500 in Doge. It's speculative. Some people would say, I wouldn't touch that stuff. It's very speculative. But if you got $500 and Bitcoin went, I remember my friend said to me, he was a Marine major, he said to me, I bought a Bitcoin for $6,000. This was 3 years ago. You know how much Bitcoin was the other day? $62,000 a coin. $62,000. $64,000? Okay. It varies. I think today it was $62,000. It was up to $64,000 the other day. Okay? He had one at $6,000 3 years ago. If you had bought a Bitcoin 3 years ago, CoinDesk is one of the places you can buy this stuff, probably the best. If you sign up for CoinDesk, you might want to buy $100 worth of Doge. I don't know. I'm not a broker. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not licensed. I'm just saying, I might buy $100 worth of Doge, you know? Hey, if you put $1,000 in Doge back at New Year's this year, 2021, you would have had as much as $66,000 a couple days ago, and this morning you'd have had $55,000. If you put that much money, $1,000 on Tesla on January 1st, you'd have $1,000. If you put that much money on one other, I forget what it was, it was ridiculous, the valuations. Doge was a joke. It was created as a joke. And now you've got Mark Cuban from the Dallas Mavericks saying, people buy stuff in my shops at the Dallas Mavericks games with Dogecoin. Spend your money here on Doge. Buy your tickets with Doge. He wants people to buy with Doge because people think it's money. Whatever people think is money is money. It's electronic. Yeah, you don't even hold it. It's if the internet goes down, so does Doge, so does Bitcoin, so does Ethereum and Litecoin and all those things. If the internet crashes, bye bye Doge, bye bye happiness, hello loneliness, I think I'm gonna cry. And this is worth no more than this. I think this is my McDonald's receipt from this morning. Just two pieces of paper. But this won't buy you a cup of coffee. This will. It's only what you believe money is. Okay. So let's close. Pentecost is one of seven feasts, eight feasts, all the feasts of Leviticus 23. Remember, God told the children of Israel to tell Pharaoh, Moses, let us go, let my people go, that we may celebrate a feast to the Lord our God in the wilderness. Amen? Let my people go, Pharaoh, that we may celebrate a feast to the Lord our God in the wilderness. What feast was that? Exodus 19, in the third month, they were at Mount Sinai. Well, on the biblical calendar, the third month, this is the third month. And it's on the 49th day, the fifth day of the third month. This is it right here. It's in May, but the month in the Hebrew, the biblical month, is called Sivan. It's May 16th. It's the eve of Pentecost. It's Sunday night. It starts, and it's Sivan 5. It's May 16th. That's Pentecost Sunday. Third month on the biblical calendar. This is a double calendar here. Okay, it's like interlinear. So Passover, remember God said on the first month, on the 14th day of the month, is the Lord's Passover. That was 3 months. We're not quite to Pentecost yet, but that was March 27th, Saturday night, was the same as Nisan 14. Nisan 14 is Passover. It's in the first month. Nisan Iyar, and then the third month is Sivan. What holiday was Moses celebrating at Mount Sinai? Shavuot, Pentecost. How many people died when he came down the mountain and saw they had built the golden calf? 3,000 died. It says it right in Exodus 32:38. 3,000 died. Except in Acts chapter 2, on the same holiday, 3,000 souls were added. Why? Because Jews, Orthodox Jews, the rabbis, celebrate Shavuot because the Torah was given, the law was given on Shavuot. Moses came down the mountain with the Torah, with the law. But the New Testament says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 3,000 died under the law, under the letter. 3,000 lived under the Spirit. Pretty cool, huh? Wow. Now, I haven't even talked about the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to talk about it today because I'm closing it up. But I just thought it's really interesting that Israel was judged because they left the doors open. You leave the doors open, the animals go out and the animals come in. Leave the doors open, the criminals go out and the criminals come in. When you don't want somebody to go out, You close the doors. When you don't want your cat to go in a certain room, you close a door. Or your dog. You don't want somebody to come in, you lock your door. Or you may even set your alarm. We've had two rocks through windows this past week. We have to figure out a way. You know, no, we've never had real trouble here, but we've had vandalism. This is not the best neighborhood, but safe enough. Nobody's ever been harassed or anything physically. Somebody got bit by a dog. But it's a tough neighborhood. We have a fence around. You know, we have a fence around the property. You can't really get on this property at night because it's locked, just like Congress. I see the same thing happening to America that happened to Israel. But here's the hope. Israel came back, and I don't think America's finished. I think God still has work for America. I don't think God's finished with America. I don't think Israel will endure forever. The Bible says so. God says, as long as they're in Jeremiah 31:35, he says, as long as there is a sun by day and a moon by night and stars by night in the heavens, there will always be an Israel. As long as the waves roar in the ocean, waves come in and roar and the sea, there will be an Israel. You can read it for yourselves, Jeremiah 31:35. Israel endures forever. It's the home of the Messiah. It's Jesus is going to sit on a throne when he comes back. Well, whose throne? Is it the King of Spain? Queen of England? King of Denmark? Prince of Monaco? Throne of David? Throne of David. It's a Jewish throne. He's going to sit on a Jewish throne. I have a throne. It's Jewish. I had it specially built. But I'm not going to let you see it. All right. Hallelujah. Did you learn a little something about Pentecost today? Oh, at least one person did. Amen. There's much more I could talk about, but and we'll continue next week. But we'll pick up. I haven't talked about the Holy Spirit. I haven't talked about counting the Omer. I haven't talked about a lot of things. I do recommend, though, that you go back. If you missed my message last week, go back and check it out. There's a lot of cool stuff for people who aren't familiar with last week's message. So go back we have archive our messages and services on our website. If you friend me on Facebook, if you I'm not going to give my name out that I use on Facebook because I don't want a million people I don't know. If you're interested in friending me, just you can go to For Zion's Sake Ministries is our website, is our Facebook page. And if I get to know you there, then we can consider friendship later. I take it slow. Please stand up. I want to bless you. We're going to have lunch. And hey, you know, I want guys out there and people in TV land, I invite you to come to Tennessee. And we don't have income tax. We have a $600 million budget surplus in our state budget. We don't have income tax, and the state has money to spend on education and health care and all kinds of good things that they're spending money on. We're not broke like New York. We're not broke like Boston. We're not broke like Chicago or Los Angeles or Portland. Tennessee's doing well. So we invite you to come. If you want to come to a city, a state, where you don't have to pay income tax except federal, just property tax, where the gas is cheaper and the country is beautiful. Just went to the lake yesterday, and it was beautiful. Come to the lakes and the mountains. And join us. Come join with us and worship with us. We welcome you. And the people are nice. The people are beautiful, lovely people. Amen. I got the biggest amen on that. People are nice. All right. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing on the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavilecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat shalom. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And thank you all for coming and thank you for watching. We love you. Hallelujah. Yes, you can do that. What? You're going to leave? I'm sorry.